Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
And we also know that God has called the church to love Him, love God, love the Lord, or love others and go. Woo, boy, pastor's got to get that right. Love God, love others and go. Wow. I've said that so many times, and man, my mind just really got that messed up. But that is the truth of who we are, the three commands Jesus has given us, and in it all the scriptures is wrapped up, and we know the truth as we love God, love others, and go with His gospel into this world. And I'm going to tell you right now, the gospel is not warm and fuzzy. Can I get an amen? The gospel is hard and true, but the gospel will save you, because the gospel is the only hope of Jesus Christ. It's a difficult thing to go through, because in this life we will have troubles. God actually says light and momentary. How many of you have found all your troubles to be light and momentary? Yeah, I know, that's the way I feel too. But when we look back from eternity, when we get into eternity, we're actually living in eternity right now. We just don't see it because we're locked in time, right? We're locked in time. But when we are outside of time, as God is outside of time and we are part of eternity, we're going to look back on these 70, 80 some years that we get, for some 94. Okay? And we're going to look back and we're going to say, oh my goodness, it didn't matter. That was simply this much in all of this. And that's what the Lord Jesus is talking about. So let us find joy. Not joy as the world finds, okay? How many of you out there, when you think about joy and finding joy, which is the sermon title for this week because it's the fourth candle of our Advent wreath, finding joy. How many of us out there, how many of you have just this past week done something because you just needed a lift in your spirit, you needed a little bit of joy, so you went out and you had dinner, or you went shopping, or you did something just to have a little bit of joy in the midst of all this stuff? Anybody out there doing that stuff? Yeah, how long did that joy last? Until you got to the cash register and had to pay for it. That's about how long it lasts. Okay, and that's pretty much life if you think about it lived outside of Jesus Christ. Because that's what we have. In this world, we can have these little tidbits where we'll find a little bit of joy, but then there's a payment that needs to be made to have that joy. But there's a payment that's been made that will give us joy eternal, joy everlasting, and you and I don't have to pick up that bill, because Jesus Christ did. And when He paid it, He didn't pay it once for that moment. He paid it once for all eternity, past, present, and future. Because we need to understand, Jesus Christ, though He came in the flesh, is God, very God. And in His death, burial, and resurrection, we find the payment of all our sin, of all sin that has ever happened and ever will happen. But the question is, will we receive it? Will we see our receipt stamped in the blood of Jesus Christ? Or are we trying to sign at the dotted line? That's the difference. If Jesus has signed that receipt, it's signed forever, and there is joy. Because nothing you can do from this point forward can take that away. Okay? But if we're trying to cash that thing with our lives, we're trying to pay for it. We don't even have the ink and the pen, brothers and sisters, because our sin will not allow us to write that line. Today, I want to talk about that joy and the fact that joy comes when we receive the risen Christ. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John. This is the Gospel of John, John 16. John 16. When you get to the chapter of John in the 16th, I'd like you to turn to verse 19. Verse 19 is where we're going to begin. I'm going to read 19 through 24. John 16, 19 through 24. If you have a red letter Bible, I'm going to pick up where Jesus is speaking, which is actually the third part of the first sentence. It says to us here in John 16 and 19 through 24, Are you deliberating together about this, that I said a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that the child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. Now, it may seem strange to use a scripture such as this to introduce the thought of joy. There are so many other scriptures that I could have chosen. Pastor, why did you choose this scripture? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Because you see, what I want us to understand is the disciples were looking at Jesus and wondering what he was talking about, because he was just talking about his death, that he was going to have to die and that he was going to be raised again. And they did not understand, you know, what are you talking about? And why are you bringing us down? We're at such a good high right now. You know, we're in Jerusalem and it's festival season. And now you're talking about your day. You know, what's going on? I want us to understand, when we are outside of Jesus Christ, how many of us are looking for that next thing that's going to bring us joy? Every one of us looks for that next thing that's going to bring us joy. And we think it's going to be lasting joy. You know, I think about kids at Christmas. You know, I used to be a kid. That was years ago. In fact, epochs. But as I think about that, I can remember one Christmas in particular. I lived in New Freedom, Pennsylvania, and I was 4 years old, and I got my first toy gun. Now, back then, we had cool toys, okay? Now, some of them aren't as cool as the toys they have today, but back then, the regulations on what we could do with guns was a little bit more laxed, okay? I had a rifle. It was a repeater. And I could load these plastic bullets in that puppy. And when I would shoot them, they actually came out the barrel. Plastic bullets. They were orange, so you wouldn't lose them, right? Well, when you're shooting them at your sister, it's not so much fun for her. But you got to remember, I was 4, she was 6, so she used to beat me up. When I got my gun, I had self-defense. So for my sister, it wasn't quite so much fun. My parents warned me, they told me they were going to take it from me, so I settled down as a little boy, and I realized, you know, because my dad used this gun literally to teach me gun safety. But on Christmas Day, there was no holds barred. My point is this. 6 months later, I had left that gun outside in the driveway, and the leaves had started coming down in the campgrounds that we lived in. It was August, September, okay, and it was a dry year. I can remember this as good as it is today in my mind, and there were leaves on the driveway, and my dad comes pulling in. He didn't see the gun laying there in the driveway, and he drove right in the driveway and drove right over my plastic gun. My toy gun was destroyed. How long did that joy last? I got 6 months or a little bit more out of that toy, and it was gone. Gone. Isn't that what happens in our lives? We have this thing for a little while, whatever it is. But then something breaks it. Okay? How many of you out there remember your first love? Your first love. Some of you got to marry your first love. Amen? And that's a good thing. And praise God for it. All right? But how many of you remember your first love and then that breakup? And it was terrible. And the world was coming to an end. And the sun was never going to rise again. Yeah, we've been there. We find all kinds of heartache in life because we search for joy that's fleeting because this world is inundated by sin. But Jesus Christ here is telling us that while you may grieve, I'm coming back because you see, he's not going to get broken and not be there. Jesus is going into hell to pay a price for us, and then he's coming back, unbreakable. Please understand that. We're going to talk about this on Christmas Eve because the mortal must be clothed with immortality. That's part of the consummation of all things. Well, I just keep hammering on next. It better be a good sermon, right? I pray it is. I pray it's a truth that we all get to understand that, brothers and sisters, Jesus, who came in the flesh, had to take on immortality and show it to us. Not just the immortality that the saints who went into heaven got to see, but an immortality that was real, that was right here in front of all of us, that we were witness to it, that he was the firstborn among all peoples to be raised up. Why? Because he is God. And in that, we may find true joy because it's not broken. How do you think the disciples felt on that day when they saw their Lord on the cross, dead? And then they were taking him down to put him in a tomb. They were lost. They had no hope anymore. They had no peace anymore. The love that they had for one another was even waning, and they were separating. Some of them were up in an upper room, and they were, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do now? They're going to come after us. They're going to kill us. They were all worried about themselves. Everything came away from Christ and back to self. Isn't that what happens when we lose joy in our lives? But Jesus didn't let them there. He's not going to let us there. He says, for in a little while you will see me again. Brothers and sisters, I'm 60 years old. I haven't seen him yet. But I long for the day I will. Because that is my hope. And that hope has given me peace in this world. Because I know the full love of God. Because he is pouring it out on me daily. Daily. And in that, no matter what the world throws at me, I have a joy that they can't take away. Because I have an eternal Savior who is walking in the glory of God right now, waiting for the day when I am raptured home. Did you just hear what I said? When I am what? Raptured home. And I'm telling you right now, that day is getting closer by the moment. Closer by the moment. And if we can sense that, don't you think the world can sense that? They know something's wrong. This world is in a turmoil because we're getting closer to that day. It's just like a woman in labor pains. Ladies, did you know the baby was coming before it got here? Isn't that what he just said? But as soon as he gets here, there's joy. What's going to happen to us when the rapture happens? There's going to be joy. We're not going to worry about the sorrow anymore. You know, I've had people say to me, well, you know, well, aren't you going to worry about all the stuff that gets left behind? No. They may have it. In fact, I'm glad they get it. Maybe when they're in my house stealing my stuff, they'll find a Bible and come to the Lord. What a thing to steal. Steal the Word of God. Steal it away into your heart. Yes, when you were saying that, Mitch, that's all I was thinking of. We're to steal it away into our hearts. But Jesus says, I give it freely. And I'm going to pick it back up and give it to you once again. Because I need you to know that the joy I give you is not joy that just lasts until it's broken, until it's dead here on this earth. But my joy lasts unto eternity, because he is eternal. He is from eternity and has returned to eternity. He came here just for us for a little while to show us that we can make it through this little while too. And it's going to be hard. But while we're getting through, we can find the joy of every day. You know, I'm reminded, and I think about this, and it's truly part of my next point. True, lasting joy only comes through God. Do you know that? True, lasting joy only comes through God. I can remember, and I'm going to digress here a little bit, okay? That's what pastors do. We're preachers. We deal with words. But I have to use my life. Because if it's not real, I should keep my mouth shut. Can I get an amen? I have been a hunter since I was 12 years old. Ask me if I've been a Christian since I'm 12 years old. I didn't hear that. Oh, I heard that. Okay. No, I have not. I wanted to be. My great-grandmother was trying to teach me those things, and I didn't truly become a Christian. What I consider becoming a Christian, I had given my life to the Lord at 18, blah, blah, blah. I didn't come to the Lord until 32. Please, you all need to understand that. Some of you are older in the Lord than I am. Because at this point, I'm 28 years old in Christ. But I look at my life, and I look at where I was at the age of 12. And I think about the things that I realize. That from the age of 12 on, what's the age of 12? The age of accountability. You do understand that, right? Okay? Because at that point, I was making the determinations of God. And all of a sudden, things had a little bit more depth to me. And I would be out in the woods. I'm a hunter. I'm a fisherman. I would be out in the woods. I would be fishing. And I would see this wonder that's out there, and it would fill my soul with joy. And I kept going back to it, going back hunting, going back hunting, going back fishing. And I had to catch fish, and I had to kill something. Because that's what the joy was, right? That's what hunting and fishing's all about, right? Isn't that what the world tells us? That if you're a hunter and a fisherman, it's about killing things. Well, you know, I thought that too. Until I became a Christian. And I realized, man, it's not about killing those animals. That's a blessing, because then I get to share it with my family and my friends. The joy that I really didn't quite get was the fact that when I'm out there, it's me and him. And he's showing me his love. He's showing me his peace. He's showing me his hope. In that quiet place where I get alone and get away. And it wasn't until I became 32, and the Lord told me I had to quit hunting until I got through college. Do you remember that, sweetie? I had to quit hunting until I got through. I thought I was going to die. That's my joy. I got through that period of time, and God changed my heart. But then I got back into it. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. And I began going back hunting, and it was my place, the mountain, because that's where God talked to me. That's where God found me. No, that's where I found God, because that's where I heard his voice, on my mountain, on what I call my mountain, God's mountain. And then one day the Lord said to me, I want you to share your joy. And I said, yeah, okay. What do you want me to do? He said, I want you to invite the men of your church up here. I'm like, no, Lord, I come up here to get away from them. He said, yeah, I know. But it's my joy I give you. Do you think I won't give you my joy if they're here? I want you to share with them what you know of me. And I began inviting them in. Up to camp. In fact, we're going up here between Christmas and New Year's because my leg's doing pretty good. I can actually feel that. Because the joy God has given me is not something I need to keep to myself. If I want more joy, I got to share it with more people. And Jesus says to us through his word, turn in the book of Psalms, all the way back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 16. Psalm 16. We're going to be in through 7 through 11. From the 7th verse, these are the words of the Lord through the psalmist. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Blessed be the word of our Lord. But I want you to turn back. I want you to look at verse 1, because everything I just read to you is built off of verse 1 in the psalm. It says, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. When we take refuge in the Lord, he tells us here that in his presence is fullness of joy. When we are out there in life and we are finding those moments of joy, are we attributing it to that thing, or are we attributing it to God who has made it possible? That's the difference. And when we are in the world, we do not take anything to God. Therefore, it is temporary, it is momentary, it lasts this moment, and it's gone. I see my life now as a continuation of joy unto inexpressible joy. Because when I look at this and I see that God is with me every day, in the moments there are going to be trials, there are going to be tribulations, there are going to be those things which wish to detract you from God, to get your eyes off of God, to get your mind off of God, because you don't feel good. That's why I hate when people of intelligence say, well, I feel like jelly. Does that mean anything to any of you? I hope not. But when people who are supposed to be rational, who have been given a brain, who can reason, tell me that they live by the way they feel, you've got a horrible life. Because your emotions are going to change momentarily. But your reality in Christ Jesus will never change if you are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. I'm either in him or I'm not. And if I am, I'm going to have light and momentary troubles. They're going to be passing. They're going to be fleeting. But I also need to understand that this is a continuation of God's story in my life. That in his presence is joy. In fact, in Psalm 84, turn there, Psalm 84, just a couple of pages further into the book here. Psalm 84, and this is just two of the psalms and portions of the scriptures. Verses 10 through 12 is where I'm going to go. I want you to look at this. Look what it says and how much we dwell on these things. It says, for a day, from verse 10 in the 84th chapter of the book of Psalms, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Our Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Woo, can I get an amen on those verses? Woo, that is power beyond power. That is hope beyond hope. No, that is joy beyond joy. One day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. When you and I think about what does it mean for us to stand at the threshold, what does that look like? How many of us stand at the threshold wanting to come in, but the world is alluring us out there into that? And the psalmist says it's better to stand at that door, at the threshold, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. What is he talking about there? Than to come into the fullness of all the debauchery that this world has to offer and hope in it. For its hope is only damnation. And that's not a hope, that's a truth. That's its consequence. But when we walk in, when we enter in to that which is the fullness of God, when we enter into his courts, one day in his courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. So if you have 1,000 days of good here on this earth, think what it's going to be like if you're in the presence of God and that one day outweighs that 1,000 days. That's why it is said, and you know I say it, one moment, because remember, we're talking eternally here. One moment in God's presence will outweigh a lifetime of pain and toil and trouble. Because a moment in eternity, how long does it last? It's eternal. There is no time limit. It outweighs everything you've ever been through. Can you imagine what it's going to be like on that day when we cross that threshold? Can you imagine the overwhelming love, joy, peace, and hope that you are going to feel in that moment? We are just going to sit down for all eternity and say, my God. And he's going to say, yes. I love you. And it'll last forever. That's eternity. That moment is eternity. How long did that moment last? I have no idea. How do you measure eternity? But the hope that we will find, the love that we will find, we can find it here. We can find it now through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we're going to be stuck in time because we are stuck in time, right? I mean, how many of us are thinking about what's for dinner already? How many of us are thinking about what we're going to be doing this rest of this week? Some of you are now thinking about it because I just told you to think about it, huh? It's like, Pastor, why did you do that? I was thinking about God, and now you got me thinking about work. You got me over here. You got me other. But isn't that what life does? It carries us away from these moments of joy, from these times when we're in the presence of God. But we need to remember that we're never outside the presence of God, no matter what's happening to us. And in it, we can laugh, we can smile, and we can say, bring it on, Lord, because you're changing me, you're modifying me, you're giving me hope, you're bringing me peace, you're showing me your love, and you're making me steadfast in your joy. That's the mindset. You know, people tell me, Pastor, you preach some pretty hard stuff. No kidding. This is not warm and fuzzy. This is real and life-changing. And it means we can't be the same anymore. We have got to be wholly different. H-O-L-Y and W-H-O-L-Y. Because if we are not transformed, we are not in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Yes, sometimes pastor preaches a hard word, but here's the truth of it. Those hard words are the same words Jesus is speaking to each and every one of us. Why? Where do I get them from? I don't make them up. I read them right out of the book. So when people look at you and they say, boy, he's going to offend some people. Remember, they're not my words. And if all I'm doing is bringing the soft and fuzzies, we got a problem. But here's the truth that you and I need to understand. This world is going to lie to us and tell us, oh, but there's joy out here. There's joy out here until it's broken. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's broken before it's ever given to you because it's filled with sin. It is broken before you ever get it, and you know it. Looking into it, you know it. Looking into it, we can see where it's going to lead to something it shouldn't be leading to. But when we look into the heart of Jesus Christ, when we look full in his wonderful face, what do we see? What do we see? I want you to turn to one scripture. It's my final scripture here in this day. And it's Hebrews chapter 12. Because I want you to understand something. That our joy, the fullness of joy, can only come from Jesus Christ. Can only come from God himself, okay? Jesus is God. And God brings that true, lasting joy. But where does it come from in God? Because God has to get it from somewhere. But I want you to see what God says is his joy. I want you to understand why you mean so much to him. I want you to understand how powerful this joy is. From Hebrews, and I wasn't turning, I was talking, and I do apologize for that. From Hebrews, we are in chapter 12. And we are going to look at verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, there's two points in there that I want you to understand. This world is going to come against you. This world's going to come at me and every one of us, right? We are not to lose heart. Isn't that what verse 3 says? Don't lose heart. Look on Christ. Look on Christ. And look what it says here. For the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was the joy that sat before Jesus? What was the joy in going to the cross and being flogged until near death? Of being humiliated, spit upon, and a crown of thorns shoved down on his head? Of being heaved up on a cross and nails put through his hands and his feet? What was the joy in that? You see, he didn't look there. You and I look into the event. When I'm out there in the woods, I'm looking into the event. But what God wants me to understand is this is a picture of eternity. This is a broken creation. This is a broken world. And you can find joy here. What do you think it's going to be like when all sin is gone? Because he wants me to look beyond what's here to what's going to be. There are glimpses of eternity in this world yet. And when Jesus went to that cross, what did he see? He saw you and I in heaven. For the joy that's set before him is you saved. The joy of God is you back in communion with him. The joy of God is you receiving his love, his free gift. You are his joy. Do you understand? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You are his joy. He has done all this, all creation, everything that is to bring you to him. You, one individual, not the world, you. You are his. Today, I need us to remember that it starts at a stable. What do you believe? I had to sing that song, We Believe, for a reason. Because it's what you believe and truly hold to that is going to bring you hope, peace, love, and joy. This world cannot give us anything in this physical that will last unto eternity. We must hold on to something eternal. And what is that eternal thing that we hold on to? It's called faith, dear brothers and sisters. It's called faith. What do you believe? And do you believe that what you believe is really? I give you joy for this week. Next Saturday at 7 o'clock, be here, that we can come into the beginning of the consummation of all things. May the joy of Christ keep and guide you. Pray with me. Father God, we come before you as your children, knowing and understanding that we are not whole and we are not holy. But Lord God, you loved us so much that even in our sin, you died for us to give us hope, to give us peace, to give us love, and to give us joy. Because all of that is in the salvation of your only Son, our Savior, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. May we understand that as we accept that free gift, so too comes these four elements of faith, elements that cannot be taken away, that are ours, always and forever. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.